We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to all our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran and from the holy city of Qom. And I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. We are talking about the topic of principles of belief. And we were talking about in our previous session about divine guidance. And what we discussed there and what we concluded there was the fact that, especially about this verse in which we were talking about the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding people and misguiding people, well, that's not the case because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything through wisdom. And if people are misguided, it's only because of the fact that they themselves do not wish to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are engrossed in certain desires through which they wish to be away from Allah, and they insist on certain acts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. Obviously, we were talking about the fact that this guidance is natural as well as religious, and we talked about general and specific religious guidance. And we talked about the role of intellect, our primordial nature, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent prophets to guide us. And of course, the best of those, of course, is belonging to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the last messenger of Islam, and to his Holy Ahlul Bayt. And we discussed about this Holy Ahlul Bayt, meaning the house of guidance, nothing to do with blood relationship or the fact that he's asking us to love his family for the sake of himself, nothing like that. It's all to do with the fact that it's about the house of guidance, because the Imams came from this household in order to guide mankind to perfection. In the next session, we're going to talk about predestination, and we're going to do that with our expert in the studio right after this short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. There will be an email subtitled on the screen. Please use it if you feel you want to make any contribution to the program. I'd like to introduce my guest in the studio, and I have the honor and pleasure once again for having Sheikh Murtaza Agha Mohammadi, and I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program. Salam, sir, and very warm welcome to the program.
Salam alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala al-Tahirin. Once again, salam alaikum to you and to all brothers and sisters all around the world watching this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us and give us this tawfiq to be among the real followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Thank you very much indeed, Sheikh, for that wonderful dua there. Of course, these are supplications which have tremendous importance. I don't want to stray from the subject, but of course this helps with our predestination, because this is the subject which we are going to embark upon. But of course, supplications help us in these matters, and this is the thing that prophets wanted to teach us, to have this nearness with Allah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do that through supplication, through dua, through our regular prayers, as we say, to be guided on the right path. And I wish to thank you, first of all, for all the sessions we've had so far. Indeed. Right, yeah, from the principles of belief, through Tawheed, through justice, philosophy of evils, and divine guidance. And thank you for clarifying many aspects of that through the examples of the Quran, in which you've mentioned to us that, you know, the understanding of the Ahlul Bayt, the understanding of this houses of guidance are special because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected them to help us towards perfection. And I hope our dua, our prayer is that we achieve this perfection in this life. So, sir, let's start with this predestination. I am tempted to quote a hadith from Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, but I'll leave it to your good self, because there's a beautiful hadith regarding predestination. But please tell us, what is this this realm of predestination? What is meant by qada and qadir, if I've said this correctly? What are meant by these two terms in terms of what is meant in terms of our destiny in relation to our free will, what we've discussed previously, our free will? Or is this something that happens because there are causes and effects in nature? Are we really destined to end up in a particular level or in a particular way at the end? Is that the way it is, or is it something entirely different?
Okay, thank you. If you remember what we mentioned about speaking about justice,
yes,
those things are very important to bear in mind. Mm-hmm. Then we can talk, inshallah, in a better way here.
No, it's good to mention this again. Yeah. Yes, yes.
When we were talking about qada and qadar, they are translated into as a predestination or predetermination.
Predetermination, yes.
In fact, the realm of this discussion can be in two fields, and there are two sides, in fact. One is the natural events that we see, for example, earthquakes, I don't know, whatever.
Floods, for example, natural catastrophes.
Sickness, I don't know.
Illness, death, yes. Diseases, illness, yes.
All these, yeah. They can be regarded in the natural aspect. And also, man's conduct, man's actions according to the free will, that in the morality they call it conduct, man's conduct as well. We are talking about all of them. I mean, those who talk about predestination or predetermination, they want to say all these fields, everything that is in this field, they are predetermined, and they are in fact determined before and destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these are, in fact, viewed there.
Sheikh, I'd like to bring a question here, which I think our viewers would be interested in hearing the answer. I'm tempted to mention the fact that, you know, in Asia, for example, particularly in the Indian subcontinent, this is a real problem, this understanding of predestination, because there is a system called caste system in which human beings are born in a particular level in society. I don't know who determined this in the beginning, but it seems that this is something you're going to mention later on in the program, and I'd like you to clarify it, because I think you're going to talk about the history of force or the history of jabr. So goodness knows where this all started from, but the point is that unfortunately some people, just because of the class they belong to, the tribe they belong to, the social position they have in society, they say that, well, you're determined, your destiny is to be, for example, an untouchable, for example, that you know, you are the lowest of the low, and your existence is like an animal, and you pass away like that, and that cannot be changed. What does Islam say about that? Does it agree with certain things like this, or does it reject it wholeheartedly and say, no, there is something else here?
As you said, this is an important issue, not only for non-Muslims, even among Muslims.
Yes.
I can say majority of Muslims, they have misunderstood.
Yes, because I wanted to raise this, that unfortunately they say certain things which I don't
agree
with.
And of course, there have been some political intentions, inshallah, I will mention
them.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm. That, in fact, they wanted people to think like this, even if you remember, as I mentioned, that even the exploitation system, they wanted people to believe in this. They wanted to believe that what's happening to them is it was determined for them before, and they have to accept
Unfortunately, they accused the creator falsely by saying such things.
Exactly. And so, inshallah, to have a right understanding of qada and qadar, then I think everything will be clear.
Please.
According to Quranic verses, and inshallah I will mention them, to know what is qada and what is qadar. Qadar itself means to measure something. When you mention the limits of something, the borders of something, it is qadar or taqdir in Arabic.
Yes.
And qada is to make something firm and to...
make something firm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And something is firm and is determined.
Determined, and it doesn't change.
Yeah, it is. Then the term qada is used there.
Okay.
But here we see for Qadar, we have two kinds of Qadar. Mm-hmm. The scientific one and the, in fact, the external one.
I see.
Taqdir ilmi, or the scientific one, is, of course, what, according to religion and according to our sources in Quran, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all details and information and borders of a special thing. Allah knows everything about something.
Yes.
This is taqdir ilmi, means the scientific measurements. Mm. Allah has the perfect measurement of everything. No matter a cell or a being or a system, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all knowledge about it. This is taqdir ilmi, or scientific measurement.
Sure.
Then we have qada ilmi. Qada ilmi means in Allah's knowledge, Allah has the this firmness and this, in fact, certainty is
certainty,
there.
Yes,
certainty,
certainty
that when there is that cause, the, and it is a complete cause, then its effect will be there. If there is fire, there will be, for example, heat.
Yes.
This is in Allah's knowledge. Mm. The necessity and certainty about
that fire must have those attributes.
Yeah. When there is fire, there is heat.
Yeah.
This is scientific qada or determination.
And fire consumes things, you know, it just makes them into something else.
Yeah.
So, in other words, it combusts things. So, in that sense, Allah would know every perfect aspect of what fire would be.
Yeah.
In order for even though we ourselves wouldn't understand fire for what it is, but Allah has the perfect understanding of what that phenomenon is.
So this is in Allah's knowledge before creation.
Mm.
Qada and Qadar in Allah's knowledge before creation.
Sure.
And after creation, we have Qadar Aini. Mm-hmm. Qadar Ilmi, sorry.
Qadar Ilmi.
Measurement which is in the nature. Qadar Aini, which is the measurement in the nature. Means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolute measurement.
Allah
perfect
subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything with the special existence, with the special creation.
Yes.
If the first one was in Allah's knowledge, it was before creation.
Yes.
And the second is after creation, Allah knows everything about the special, the certain event, certain creation. And after that we have qada aini, means the certainty that Allah knows what are the, in fact, qualifications of that effect while having that cause in the external world.
I see.
So
it occurring naturally, as you're saying. Yes.
We see this in Quranic verses. For example, Allah.
Please, mention some
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
"Wama
kana li nafsin an tamuta illa bi iznillahi kitaban mu'ajjala." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in Allah's knowledge, it is in a book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each soul at what time will be taken towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
My God.
So, unfortunately, misunderstanding these verses made some people to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for people, even their actions.
Mm.
So, you see, this is a system of cause and effect.
Yes.
We have the.
So it's not necessarily so. There is an idea, as you say, that there is a foreknowledge where, you know, certain events Allah knows will occur at a particular point. But that doesn't mean that in between whatever details happen, there must be some kind of flexibility in between where, you know, there is a certain allowance for our free will to occur, for other actions to take place which determine certain rewards, certain levels, or certain things to be taken away. There must be some flexibility in that.
Yeah, you know, so this means to make it easy to for understanding and to understand, to be understandable.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if you have a crash while you're driving, if you have a crash with a person, and you have, for example, you're driving at 40 kilometers per hour,
yes,
what will be the consequence?
Yes.
If you drive at 60 kilometers. Yes. But there is another effect.
Correct.
If you drive at 100 speed, another effect, maybe the person is killed.
Mm.
So this is Allah's taqdeer, this is Allah's predestination. It means Allah has determined to have such an effect with such a cause.
Exactly.
If you are driving at 40, if you are driving at 60, 80, 100, there are different effects for different
speeds. Yes.
So Allah has plan A, has plan B, has plan C. It doesn't mean that Allah has determined this specific event to take place.
Sheikh, just hold on to that point. We'll come back to it right after this short break. So please stay with us, viewers. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain, and we're discussing with Sheikh Murtaza Agha Mohammadi the concept of predestination. And what you're telling us before the break was that this is something very dynamic, because you're saying to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, certain causes and effects for certain things that happen. But they're not fixed, they're dynamic. That means it's they're in motion, they're not constantly fixed. So to understand the idea of predestination means, this is unfortunate in terms of our limited understanding, our limited view as human beings, that we think of things in black and white.
Yeah.
This is very unfortunate. We can't think of the fact that things are constantly in motion. I am changing as we are in this program, second to second, minute to minute, in terms of what you're going to say next. But Allah will know what you're about to say next in terms of this plan A, B, and C. And it determines for us in terms of our understanding, in terms of our knowledge. Because Allah's knowledge, we'll get to this point later in the program, hopefully if we have time, but Allah's knowledge is dynamic. It's totally different from what human knowledge is or what human understanding is. I may know something and may think that I always know that for that particular time for the rest of my life, and never realize that maybe that knowledge is erroneous, that knowledge may be wrong. So please guide us a bit further in this aspect.
The point that is misunderstood by many Muslims,
yes,
that when we say something is predetermined, they think that, for example, they have predetermined to kill such a person.
Yes.
But it is not like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predetermined the special effect for a special cause.
Mm.
And if you make that cause, if you, in fact, put the elements into that cause, to bring that complete
that
cause,
will be the result.
The result will be there.
Mm.
So this is something misunderstood by many.
Yes.
For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about natural taqdeer and qata, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. In Surah Al-Hijr, verse 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. The treasury of everything with us is with us, and we sent down in a specific measurement. It means that, for example, if you are studying to pass exam, it is predetermined that you, if you study 1 hour, you fail. If you study 2 hours, you fail. But if you study 10 hours, you win. So you see, so it doesn't mean that if you don't study and you fail and you say it was predetermined.
No.
It was predetermined in a sense that there was this effect for that cause.
Mm.
But it was you who chose this, in fact,
this path.
Yeah, this path, 1 hour or 10 hours. It was you to decide.
Right.
So this is predetermined, the special effect for a special cause.
Bearing
this in mind, I think many issues can be solved in your life.
Exactly.
So you see, there is a, for example, car accident and a person dies.
Mm.
So the question is that God wanted this to happen or not? God told you, if you be careful, if you do not let this cause to take place, nobody dies.
Yes.
But if this cause comes to existence according to your action,
to your behavior,
then this effect is there, but this effect is from you, not from Allah. this is you who caused this, in fact, complete cause to be there, and the effect was there. This effect was predetermined for that cause.
In other words, what you're saying, Sheikh, is that because the system itself, as you said, right at the outset, has causes and effects right from the beginning. Allah has created laws in this system. So in other words, because of the dynamic way this system works, this living system works, of course, certain actions, certain deeds determined by us as a player in this system is going to cause certain results. Yeah. And this is, you know, scientifically proven that, you know, if you're going to do, I mean, this is why we have, in the analogy that you've quite nicely outlined for us, we have the highway code. There is a manual that is given to every driver, because we are talking about accidents and going on roads. We have a highway code. It tells us in this highway code that a car has to be driven in a certain way, in a certain rule, at a certain speed, in for the safety of yourself and for the other road users as well, so that you don't bring any harm to them. So in other words, what you're saying is very, very logical, that this predetermination is something that we need to understand the system. Yeah. Otherwise, our actions are going to cause harm for us and for others.
There is a nice story that once Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam was sitting,
yes,
beside a wall, and mm-hmm. it was, in fact, bent down, the wall was likely to collapse.
Right.
Amir al-Mu'mineen ran from the wall to somewhere else, mm-hmm. and there was a person who saw Amir al-Mu'mineen and said, are you running from Allah's determination?
Ah.
He thought that if Allah wants you to be alive, no matter if you sit there or not, you're alive.
Yes.
And if Allah wants you dead,
yeah,
wherever you go, you are.
But what happens to common sense? That's the problem, isn't
Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, I am running from Allah's one taqdir to another, from one measurement to another, plan A, plan B.
B, yes.
Plan A is that if you sit here, you will die.
Die.
Plan B, if you run, you're alive.
Very nicely put, very nicely put. Because that tells us from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that, of course, our free will, our common sense, our logic, our understanding of a situation, of course, if I walk under something that is very dangerous, a dangerous structure or something, and there's a sign on it that says, don't walk under it, and I choose to walk under it, what is likely to happen? Is this Allah's doing or my doing? This is very good. Thank you for that explanation. Now, tell us now, of course, in terms of this predestination, in terms of these definitions of qada and qadar, tell us, are there absolute freedom, as some Muslims understand that, oh, you are allowed to do anything? Or is there something about this jabr, this force as well, that perhaps there is a limitation to what we can do? Please explain this idea in the last few minutes that we have.
In fact, you know that because of misunderstanding about qada and qadar, some people came to have this concept that there is predestination, predetermination, and everything is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, there was a kind of political intention behind it to support this, because the caliphs, the Umayyad caliphs, especially Muawiyah, which has been, this idea not only mentioned by Shia, many Sunni scholars have been mentioned this, that Muawiyah was one of the figures who emphasized on this issue of jabr and predetermination, in fact, to justify all those cruel actions that they did.
Yes.
So when, for example, he was asked that why you are choosing your son Yazid to be the caliph after you, he said to Abdullah bin Umar, he asked Muawiyah, why you are doing this? He said, this is what predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can't choose it, you can't change it. So he wanted to say, what is taking place, what am I doing? And this was highly supported by the political system to justify their wrong actions.
Yes. We are talking about the Umayyad dynasty, of course.
Because people had this concept in Quran, and they didn't have this deep understanding, and unfortunately they didn't refer to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam to get the right knowledge. They had this mistake. And on the other hand, there were some people like Hassan Basri and others, they knew that we have free will. We decide to do our actions. So they wanted to, in fact, somehow resist against this political slogan that was given by the government to the people that there is predestination, and they went from another extreme and they said Allah has no role in our actions and there is absolute freedom. It is we who decides to do something or not, and Allah has no role in this. In fact, this was a kind of reaction.
This is another extreme reaction to that
one. It was a reaction to that extreme idea. Mm. And what is right here is the idea of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, as Imam Sadiq alayhi salam
put it. Please quote that, because I was going to get to that.
Mm. And Imam said, it is not predestination, it is not absolute freedom. It is something between.
It's something in between, that's right. Something because there's another beautiful hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam that says that where your own free will doesn't work, it is Allah's will. In other words, in certain good actions, certain pure actions, then it is Allah's course, because Allah always wants to encourage us to do the good. But of course, if we do something opposite to that, if we do something, and this is from ourselves, this is why Allah says these ugly actions, these zist actions, I'm sorry, I'm using Farsi there, but these ugly actions that we do ourselves are from yourselves. And this is because of the fact that you are ignorant. You don't understand what is the benefit of the harm that you're doing from your actions.
But at the same time, you have to bear in mind that we are not completely separated, and I mean,
we're not separate from the system.
We shouldn't think that Allah has no authority here.
Allah has very good. Very good.
Al-amr bayn al-amrayn is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own role, and also we have our own role. If you remember, I made one analogy, and I don't know, do we have time or not?
Well, we have about a couple of minutes left. Please.
Okay.
Yes.
Imagine sometimes a person's hand is completely disabled,
and he has you mentioned this.
He has no control of the hand. Mm. If you tie a knife, for example, to this hand, then you let it go and it hurts someone. Mm. This is the idea of jabr.
Jabr
means
yes.
This hand has no role in itself, and you are responsible who tied the knife to this hand.
Yes,
the either idea is that. No, the hand is sound and there is a knife in this hand and he decides to kill or not. Mm. This is absolute freedom. The third idea, which is al-amr bayn al-amrayn, something between these two, is that imagine a hand is disabled and you can connect a kind of device, an instrument to give power to it. Mm. Then after receiving power, the person decides how to use this hand.
Yes.
So the power is coming from somewhere else, but the decision is making here. Mm. This is al-amr bayn al-amrayn. Human being decides to do bad or good, but the power is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I told you, the exact translation of bihawlillahi wa quwwati aqumu wa aqud. I stand and I sit, but the power is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah didn't give him power, I couldn't stand,
well,
I couldn't sit.
I think that beautifully summarizes in the last few sections, last few seconds of this program, Sheikh, that what you're really saying there is that really the authority is Allah. He has enabled man to use the power he has given him in the capacity he has given him, but it is really our decision whether we use it for good or use it for bad, whether we abuse it or whether we use it for good action. I think in a sense that really sort of summarizes
it's not absolute freedom in the sense that power is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is freedom in the sense that it is we who decides to do some action or not to do.
Sheikh, I think at that note, I think we have summarized it beautifully in terms of our session today, but it just leaves me to thank you for your contribution, valuable contribution on this subject of predestination. I think it clarified a lot of ideas. I hope it's been very beneficial for our viewers as well, and I hope you enjoyed the program and the discussion today. It just leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be upon you all, and goodbye. Thank you.